Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 267. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I don't have a lot to go through, but I think my reviews might go long, so let's hit it like we do. Episode 167, we entitled hashtag That's Awesome. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain play catch up on the weekend, Turkey Day. Oh, so we recorded this, November 28, 2016. There you go, the exact date on that Turkey Day. And touch what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, along with NFL talk, NFL predictions week 13. Then continue football talk with late appeal moves in the NFL concussion case to the Supreme Court. Ooh, so that is very interesting on several counts. It was football season, obviously. So there was a gap that I'm missing about 5 months of recording. So that's why the dates are off. I stopped recording for about 5 to 6 months just because I lost my voice. And I didn't know how I was going to, if even I was going to continue on with the Comic Syndicate after all the hard work that we put into it, that we both put into this baby, that I'm still nurturing and taking care of. So 2 years ago constitutes to 100 episodes ago, and I would always bring concussion cases and, CED, different concussion protocol articles just because CTE articles just because it's something that was interesting to me and how jacked up football players get. Just playing, banging their heads, killing each other literally every week. So football season is going to start this week. I'll go into that a little bit. I hit weird facts you didn't know were true. So just random stuff I would love to hit. Then tap into comic talk, comic news, TNT hops aboard Snowpiercer TV series. That one they actually had a panel for at this year's San Diego Comic Con. So that's interesting. It's finally, ready to get shot or has been shot. I believe it got signed for season 2 already, and I don't think the first episode has dropped yet. Marvel Fox crossover an impossibility, according to Key Player. But two new Marvel moves added to 20th Century Fox's slate. Okay, so the Marvel Fox thing, that wasn't going to happen, but the Sony Marvel thing did end up happening. New ongoing titles: Black Bolt in 2017, Sons of Anarchy creator returns with Sisters of Sorrow from Boom Studios and creators cast and more revealed for the twice monthly X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue titles. Then hit 10 Marvel and DC titles that may need your help. So that was an actually funny article because I believe every title on that, on that list, for the most part, was everything I'm reading. Like, if I'm ever going to read anything, it's going to be in danger. And if it's good and if I'm liking it, most likely it's going to get canceled because that I just have that luck. We had comic reviews, all new X-Men Annual number 1, Civil War 2 number 7, and Inhumans Volume 2. Trade paperback, and it was Book of the Week. If you guys haven't read any of those ones, the Inhumans Volume 2 is worth checking out, guys. It's a great story, and I'm glad I was able to review that. Bullet points is just going to be happy belated Labor Day to everyone. I hope you guys had a blast. I was working and had off Sunday, so Monday. So that was nice to have off from both jobs. So I loved that, and got to hang out with my nephew for his pre-birthday. So it was cool. I had a great time and happy week 1 of NFL 2019 season. Good luck to all the crew in the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. I love football season. I want to be grinding the next few days at work, probably working the second job later than normal, and this week has been hectic at the office. So it's been just a lot of work load more than usual. And I know that's odd to say for me, but even recording today, if I didn't record today, I do not know when I would find or fit in the time to record again. And it wasn't easy finding time or space. More time, I guess, was a time suck for me in a weird way, but it's just personal shit happens in real life sometimes. But I am able to hit it. So last few things I'm going to go over real quick. Summer movie draft, not really. We still got like 2 or 3 more weeks left, so I'll give the final numbers. But just a huge shout out to the At Harden Marvel podcast. At Harden Marvel, Justin Harden. Cool Cat, his season 3 of his podcast starts this Friday, 9/6, I believe. Yes, it is 9/6. So I wanted to have him on before his show dropped just to get people like involved and amped and kind of pumped for it. Like, what is it you offer? And kind of pick his brain a bit and to do these reviews with him and these news, you know, talk to him. Get you guys as an audience, you know, just interested in his work. And he's got some really dope stuff coming up the pike. And it's pretty dope, dude. So I'm pretty proud of him. And just another one, Robbie Robertson from The Blank. I just drew a blank, but the Out of the Blank. Oh my gosh, I don't know why that would keep fucking failing to hit that one. Hitting him up on the side, or rather he hitting me up on the side, was really cool. Robbie, I hope you don't mind me sharing that story, but he hits me up on the side. He's like, do you mind if I follow you on Facebook? I had a really good conversation with you. I'm like, no, dude, go for it. And he literally had sent it prior to that message. And it's like, no, dude, dope, dude, I got you, man. Like, I had a blast with you. I want to jump on your podcast, you know, sometime if you wouldn't mind. And I would love to have you on any of my podcasts as well. And just a cool cat. So when any of those episodes release, definitely find these two podcasts. So definitely the Harden Marvel podcast and definitely the Out of the Blank podcast. Find those. When I am on either of those shows, I will plug those and I will drop those. You guys will know. And somebody else kind of, in a sort of weird way, kind of interview me, which is odd. But something different for you guys, too, because I don't like getting interviewed. And they weren't interviews, really. They were just conversations. And two dope guys that I met out of the blue on Instagram, for the most part. And just the fact that we're ready and willing to collaborate and even chat now more so. So, again, I'm recording today, the 4th, 9/4. And Justin hit me up today, and poor guy, I wanted to have him on tonight. With everything that happened after work, once I got home, was a bunch of chaos. So there's no way that would have happened. So, and he wasn't feeling well. So I didn't want to ask him, dude, well, if you got a stomach flu, I don't want to keep you up later than what you are. I know it sucks to be sick. I was sick a few weeks back. And so it's like, we can take this anytime, a later date, dude, don't sweat it. All right, guys, so that's all I got for bullet points. Find those guys. Again, they're rad, they're cool, and I will plug those guys, not just for their shows alone, but once I get on their shows or once they drop their shows with me on them, I will be more than happy to drop them. You guys can tell me how much more terrible I sound talking to other people on their own shows. All right, dude, let's hit it. TV movies. We have Ghostbusters returns to theaters for 35th anniversary. Ghostbusters will haunt theaters again this October in celebration of the film's 35th anniversary, so Sunday 10/6 and Thursday 10/10 as part of a Fathom Events series. I've done those before. They're cool just to catch old movies, classic movies you like. This one I just love, and not a lot of people know about this news, and I have interviewed the cast before. They're great. They're dope. I don't watch a lot of anything episodic, really, but this is one that I'm really jazzed for, and I love. It's written properly. These characters, you care about them. You empathize for them, you know? You sympathize for them. You care about these characters, and even Johnny, like every character. Cobra Kai's first season is now free to watch on YouTube. For a limited time, YouTube's Karate Kid sequel series, Cobra Kai, is free to stream. Ever since its debut, the YouTube original series Cobra Kai has existed as part of the website's streaming service, YouTube Premium. Now, for a limited time, fans can stream the entire first season for free. Today, until September 12th, and I believe this has been out for a week already, so after I recorded last week, YouTube has brought the first season of the Karate Kid revival series out from behind its paywall. During this period, viewers can stream all 10 episodes of the first season with ads, and that's not bad, for free. Starting on September 11th, next Wednesday, YouTube will release Season 2 episodes weekly, like Season 1. These Season 2 episodes will be available for free with ads as well. If you guys haven't seen it, if you guys didn't want to pay for another subscription service, go this route and do yourselves a favor. We all grew up with Karate Kid. It's worth checking out. And Johnny was never the villain to me from the get-go. And to see everyone's perspective now is kind of rad to catch. And all these characters. And Miguelito, I fucking love. All right, let's hit it. Terminator Dark Fate. James Cameron teases trilogy plans. Terminator co-creator and Dark Fate producer James Cameron hints that the filmmakers have plans for a full trilogy. He really wants to axe and make the other movies non-canon for the most part. So I think Terminator 2 was the last one he was a part of. And he just wants to say the other 3, 4, 5, all those movies never happened. If it's done properly, I don't really see it being a bad thing. I love the world of Terminators anyways. I think there was only one, the Genesis, I did not see. But you know what? Give me Terminator. I'm totally down with that. Spawn reboot. McFarlane isn't nervous about making his directorial debut. Spawn creator Todd McFarlane, who is set to helm the upcoming film reboot, explains being a first-time director does not make him nervous. Also, Spawn has 2 new animated series planned as well after the movie reboot. We're talking right now, McFarlane explained, I just had a couple of meetings this weekend about a couple of different animation looks, both something that we can get kids in at a younger age and then get them into the sort of crack cocaine version of Spawn, which is the best way to watch Spawn anyways. All right, sorry to get a little sidetracked, guys. The Flash film is next project on IT director Andy Muschietti's schedule. So I didn't realize he was going to be the director of The Flash, only because there have been so many people that have been signed on to direct or produce or even write The Flash. So that's kind of interesting. How do you guys feel about that? I guess it drops this weekend, hence why I'm going to be so busy the rest of the weekend, because I get to be their second job for IT, Chapter 2. Kind of stoked for the movie, not stoked for the people or the crowds. Next one's going to be Joker will be in the running for Oscar, says film festival director. According to Venice Film Festival director Alberto Barbera, Joker will for sure be in the running for an Academy Award. There's a huge buzz behind this movie already. Joaquin Phoenix and Francis Ford Coppola is going to be the director. I don't think he wrote it at all, but it's. I'm curious about it. It looks good to me, and it looks odd to me at the same time, because the Joker does not have an origin story, but just give me a different, unique, compelling story, and I think I'm going to be behind it. All right, let's hit some Marvel Disney talk. Lion King remake surpasses Marvel's Avengers at all time at the box office. So ahead of Lion King sits Jurassic World, Avengers Infinity War, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Titanic, Avatar, and the recently crowned Avengers Endgame. That was interesting. I have Lion King for my summer movie draft with the guys Alan and Anton, Carl, RG, Vixen, Team Vixen. We have Roslyn and Gianna on it. It's a dope league. It's like a fantasy football league with movies. If that makes sense to you guys, it's really dope. It's huge, and I have an idea of what movies are going to do well box office for this summer. And that was my, not even dice roll, that's the one I wanted over Aladdin, over Spider-Man, even the events of, after Endgame, like what's going to happen next with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Something I had to pick up for myself. Marvel eyeing Spider-Man director John Watts for new film. So John Watts was on for Homecoming. He directed Homecoming. Oh, I'm sorry, Far From Home. And even though he says, I didn't sign on for a Sony Spider-Man film, which he's off board that, Marvel still wants to work with him and wants him to direct a different Marvel movie. Thought that was interesting. Next one was going to be Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 7 gets a release window. I did mention it last week, but I don't believe I dropped when that season 7 is going to drop. It's going to drop in February 2020, so technically around the corner. Their streaming service drops in, I believe, November. about mid-November. So I'm curious about it. I'm curious about The Mandalorian. I'm just curious about so many things here. All right, let's see what we have. You know what? Let's hit some reviews, guys. This is probably going to go a lot longer than I thought it would. I'm going to go with two reviews. The first one is going to be a classic review. This one came out in February, I want to say in 95. This is Carnage, Mind Bomb, number one. Warren Ellis is the writer. Kyle Hotz, is the artist. And Marty Javiens is the inker. Sorry, I'm pretty sure I butchered his name. Starts off with a single panel of Carnage locked up with him telling you, "My blood wants to kill you." Where we then get this small glimpse of the interior of Ravencroft Penitentiary as we meet a Dr. Kafka and John Jameson as they now greet Matthew Kurtz, doctor, as they now take him through this labyrinth of an asylum. And we are able to see the guards of this penitentiary and how tight it is and how on lockdown they have this place and what they have to put up with using now lethal force on the residents of this Ravencroft penitentiary. And it's one of those weird, what would you do? Like, I mean, you're guarding these people. You kind of would have to use brute force, but there is a difference between brute force and excessive force, and that might make sense at the end as I wrap this one up. As it looks now, if this psychiatric specialist almost has ulterior motives, so that's what this Matthew Kurtz is. And jumps now to Carnage and his thoughts, and we see how twisted and sadistic, how crazy nuts this dude is, where Matthew now uses his credentials working for the Pentagon, you know, and to outrank both of them and John Jameson. Listen to that. John Jameson is actually John Jonah Jameson's son, and he works for this penitentiary. Where again, he drops this narrative and dialogue now. Not surprisingly, Cassidy was a homicidal maniac before his alteration, and that type tends to resist rehab. And now, since his blood became infected with a spore from the alien thing that envelops the creature Venom, well, I imagine he's quite unmanageable. And now we see where Kafka, the doctor, the woman, broke, and why Matthew is there now. And his goal now is to lobotomize Cletus Cassidy. And it's interesting because, again, he uses his rank. He uses his rank to outrank them, is pretty much what he does. And his credential is probably pretty much to outrank them. And like, no, I'm going to go in. I'm here to do a job. And I outrank both of you guys. So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to lobotomize him. And the way he's even almost teasing Cletus Cassidy, like, there is no anesthesia I use. And he opens up his toolkit and just everything he starts bringing out and busting out. And again, looking at it from this perspective too, no anesthesia and the inhumanity of it all. Like, how fucked up is that? Like, if that makes sense, and this is a twisted title, I'm going to go into several routes about this. As John now has this, this balancing of unethical weights where, you know, he's like, you know, we use force when we need to, but we're not cruel to these people just to be cruel. And where we now see this Dr. Kurtz, Matthew, go to work. And now hitting Carnage with a mix of like a low frequency and ultra high pitch noise. Where we see the Carnage symbiote kind of get off of Cletus Cassidy. And again, we see Matthew go to fucking work on Carnage now. Like, Cletus Cassidy himself, the man now, using every syringe he has available just to inject him and inject him with just drugs and make him, I don't know, fucking sedated enough to fuck with him and to lobotomize him for the most part. And we see like a very mad scientist-ish thing from this Matthew Kurtz as we get the turn and see how fucked up and twisted Cletus Cassidy really is. The enjoyment of it all. even foaming at the mouth now. Like, he's, in a weird way, almost enjoying it. Because of these injections. Like, it's a trip to see. And Warren Ellis is a great writer. And to have read this back then in 94, 95-ish, 95, 96, so within that time span. And I know I've read it, and I think I used to have it in my comic book collection before it went poof, gone, in flames, ages ago. To read it now, it's like, wow, this is really twisted. This is really dark. Maybe 15-year-old, 16-year-old Josias could handle it. But just very gnarly and very intense, because the diatribe that Warren Ellis drops as Cletus Cassidy is going off on why he loves, revels, and does what he does, like what makes him him, and even goes into, like, again, how twisted his upbringing was, and how he was always a twisted kid, and how he was... You always know those people. I know that sounds terrible to say. You would think you can spot it or red flag it now in today's society, in today's world. But I just wanted to give you background on how twisted Cletus Cassidy as a person, as a man, was even before he even became Carnage. Like, he was always that twisted. So now, speaking about that, I'm going to review Absolute Carnage number 2. I was going to wait one more week for this one, and I was going to review a Transformers IDW comic. But you know what? I need to get this out just because if this is a spoiler for anyone, I'm going to try not to spoil anything. But I'm going to give a rundown of this pretty dope. This one dropped last week. Donny Cates is the writer, killing it. Ryan Stegman's the artist, killing it. J.P. Mayer, killing it. And Frank Martin, killing it on colors and inks. So now, it starts off, Cletus Cassidy is dead, and it's this inner monologue. Long live fucking Cletus Cassidy. Cletus fucking Cassidy. Now, piloting my new Carnage machine into every gaping hole in this mannequin-filled city. Kill enough. And I can awake my God. As the first page is just this fucking sick one page with so many panels reflecting this one face. And you see a panel of Cletus Cassidy. You see another panel of a corpse. You see another panel of a burnt corpse to top things up. You see another panel of Carnage's face. And all these panels make up the face of what Carnage, this dark Carnage, is and looks like now. And even before that, like, now he is more yoked out than ever before. And there's a smaller, still twisted looking Norman Osborn right next to him, carnaged out, but he still looks sick, by the way, Norman Osborn. But the way you see the comparisons on how big or even how powerful the differences between these two cats is very interesting. Because even behind them, we see an army or a small army, a bunch of Carnage hounds. And it's literally from the prior issue. All the cellmates, all the inmates, as Cletus Cassidy was walking by, he was opened up his chest and he pulls out maggots, tossing a maggot into each cell. And each cell, each prisoner was literally getting infected by this Carnage symbiote now, so they can go to work. This one was a really dope title and really interesting. Not as long as issue number 1, but I loved the hell out of it. So now around them, as we finally get to see our two protagonists now. And Spider-Man's like, I'm getting low on my web fluid, Eddie. This is not. And Venom is like, we know. We can't win this one. As Venom creates this giant fist, like a wrecking ball, and goes to work on the wall that Peter Parker was literally had to web up his hands and almost make it like a twisted, taped up boxing glove, just so he can try to find this weakest point of this cell wall. And now we see it's Venom's turn, it's Eddie's turn to go to work on the wall, trying to free them as now his inner monologue goes off. We can hear him in the space we share. We are connected to Cletus, to the Grendel symbiote he is wearing, in ways we don't understand. His madness is infectious. His thoughts echo like broken glass, napalm in our minds. So he's finally able to break down the cell wall. As we see this really dope scene now between these two characters, as we see a panel of Spider-Man solo fighting this crew. Again, Venom was working on this wall. Just whatever monologue was going on, Spider-Man's like just going to work, trying to fight all these assholes by himself. And it's really, again, dope to see it because it's going to make sense in a weird way for each character. We see Spider-Man solo fighting this crew, wanting to help and honestly save his friend, Norman Osborn. And we get Venom in his mindset now. Like, he tells him, he's dead, Pete. We have to go. As he webs Spidey, because Spidey is still fighting off, the wall's broken down, and in mid-fight, he webs his back and literally pulls him out like, dude, we can't do this. And they bail. This is high up, Eddie. I'm out of fluid. Venom's like, don't worry. We got this. As Eddie uses a new recently learned ability of flight through his wings, through his symbiote. As we get an odd now flip from the Dark Carnage, Cletus Kasady, Null, and Carnage, the Norman Osborn. It's just interesting because once I saw and read this conversation between these two, it's like, oh, I kind of see where this is going. This is going to be interesting, and I don't know. Let's see where it's going to go. Anyways, so now we see that weird conflict, and we see all these characters in how they interact, in a weird way, honestly, it goes back to the whole yin and yang of everything. So after we see their two conflict, and it's not even a conflict. You guys got to read it. It now jumps to Peter Parker and Eddie Brock now. Back to, we need to get the hell out of here. Finally away, and even the conversation they have. So they're able to web and fly, I'm sorry, fly away. Venom kind of drops them off on the top of a building in New York. And the way they both land in this rainy puddle. And the way they're both laying together. Not laying together. They both fall down, they eat it, and they're both laying on their back and almost head to head, and Spider-Man pulls off his mask as the Venom symbiote detaches from Eddie's face. And we still see how beat up, how jacked up Eddie Brock is. Like, he's been put through a ringer for a while now. And it's beautiful just to see these two. And these two characters, as they're both laid out now, again, the rain hitting them. And they're both beat up, though, trying to figure out what to do next. And Peter's like, Eddie, what was that? What are we fighting? Eddie's like, I don't know. I don't know if we can fight it, Pete. We're not strong enough. And Peter's like, then we find some people who are. You fall down, and then you get back up. And you hope you get up more than you fall. That's how this works, Eddie. And again, the yin and yang. I love the play on two characters that I love. And it's like, I love both of them, but who do I empathize with more? Peter Parker, probably more so, but I love the villain aspect of the anti-hero, where it's like, you don't want to root for the guy, but you really want to root for Eddie Brock, especially this version of Eddie Brock. Yeah, that was always really annoying about you, which was just funny. And again, this scene made me laugh out loud, which is just smart because these two guys aren't boys. They're not friends at all. But to get the both sides of the same coin, I always love to read. So Peter Parker finally comes up with a plan. If we can't fight him, then we have to save the people he's coming for. And it is like, yeah, okay. Okay, so we go call Captain America and Wolverine, and Peter Parker interrupts him. How about I handle those guys? And Eddie's like, and again, it shouldn't be this funny. Eddie's like, right. And I guess I'll handle all the low-life criminals and psychopaths and murderous aliens on the list. Cool. Like, it's like, Peter's not going it works perfect, and it's so fucked up. It's just, again, funny to me and so ironic. And Eddie is kind of fucked either way in this catch 22. And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, was he supposed to go, like, hey guys, you hate me, and because you think I'm a terrible person, okay, I might have done some terrible things, but I know what's going on, and it might sound crazy, but I'm here to help. And like, if you were to go up to any Marvel superhero, what would they do to Eddie Brock? You know, like, and you're on the news now because you killed somebody, quote unquote. It's just funny, and to me, it makes sense as a character to take the harsher or more challenging road. You know, again, the yin and the yang. Again, he's screwed either way, as Eddie now gets a call from the Maker, which he left Norman Osborn's grandson, and even his own son Dylan with, as he gets his call. And it's funny now, and the conversation they have, like, where he gives Eddie information about Anne Wayne, and that was his girlfriend. I don't think it was ever his wife, honestly. And about the graveyard, like the graveyard of symbiotes or everyone that got possessed, their codex got stolen, got ripped out of their spinal cord. I went over the database, and she was never in there. And that's what kind of makes Edward flip out. And even the way he talks to Eddie Brock, he's like, he's so, I don't know, it's just written proper where he calls him Edward. And he even tells him, like, and I also have news about Dylan. And I'm not going to spoil it. This comic is worth checking out. And just a fucked up thing for Eddie to have to deal with now. This news about Dylan, on top of what he needs to take care of now. And although the Maker makes Eddie a beautiful promise, like, I still don't trust the dude or the ulterior motives of the Maker. And the Maker is honestly the ultimate universe version of Mr. Fantastic, so Reed Richards, but just twisted and evil. Like, what is your ulterior motive type of deal? But even in saying that, he kind of makes Eddie Brock over the phone like a beautiful promise. He's like, I promise as I stand, nothing will happen to Dylan. And we see the symbiote Venom now talking to Eddie after he hangs up, like, okay, cool, I got to go to work. I'll be there as soon as I get the chance. The symbiote says, do you feel them, Eddie? The infection spreading. Growing. The carnage horde grows. And he's like, yeah, I feel it. I see it. Now let's go end it. As the scene now jumps to the Spire, which is located miles beneath New York City, for the most part. And we see the horde is just growing, and underground it is just growing, a huge army. And we get interactions again between Carnage, Dark Carnage, Cletus Cassidy with the Null symbiote, and Carnage, Norman Osborn. That makes sense for these two as well, because the conversations they're having now is like, why don't we just kill everyone, is what Norman says. And the Cletus Null symbiote's like, no. Like, and just the dialogue between these two characters is great, because they're both twisted per the Venom, I'm sorry, for the Carnage symbiote, but their personalities, like, who is darker? Like, this psychopath I just read you from the 90s, and that story, and how twisted that story is, and how twisted this person really is really interesting. And again, a good take for these two characters to have. Now we get scenes and panels of heroes and villains now working together. We see Scorpion, villain, and Miles Morales, Spider-Man, trying to fight back this infection. So the city is getting infected, and they're fighting off small hordes of this carnage infection, this carnage horde. And it's really dope, and it's really twisted, and it gets really dark, and I don't know how much I want to spoil. And I don't want to spoil much, but it's really dope, because it's still smartly written, and the art is really dope and really amazing. I love Ryan Stegman. So now we see these two cats working together that shouldn't be. And we see this horde is just, it just becomes too much for the kid, for Miles, as he almost slowly gets enveloped. Now asking Scorpion for help. But because this horde is all over Miles Morales, Scorpion starts to book it. And he's like, deuces, dude, like, I did what I could just to save his own ass. And as he's running, we see Eddie arrive now, just in time to help out Miles. But some serious stuff really goes down. Some shit really goes down. Where now Eddie, he kind of bumps into Eddie like, ah, shit, Venom. And he's like, where do you think you're going? No, you're going back in there to help out, as he grabs Scorpion and tosses him in. And as this carnage horde now starts attacking, and it's a lot of weird, a lot of jacked up shit happens within these final pages and final panels. Like, we see how this horde is about to, and actually it's Carnage now, Norman Osborn, kind of trying to pull the codex out of Scorpion's spinal cord. And as Eddie now feels bad, like, holy shit, I just tossed you into the fire. It is really cool, and you can see it briefly, and just to see how he feels bad about it. And even though Eddie kind of jumps in and does that, and Miles is able to get his bearings to him and kind of start fighting back as well, but because now Eddie as a person feels terrible, like, shit, I'm sorry, dude, my bad. Like, and it's weird, and it's really cool, but it's really humanizing too. Like, I shouldn't have tossed you back in, as we see something happen to Miles Morales. And I wrote down, do I spoil or don't spoil? So depending on when it's dropped, it dropped 8/28, today is 9/4, it dropped last week. If you're not reading this title, I'm not going to ruin it for you. I know issue number one, I waited 2 weeks to probably review, give enough people time to read the material. I'm loving this title. So I needed to give you the precursor with Carnage, Mind Bomb. And it's dope and it's twisted. It's worth reading if you guys like horror. And the way Donny Cates is writing this is pretty much straight up horror as well. And I love horror. So I love it. It's great. And I'm digging it. So these guys are all as an art team. So Donny Cates, Ryan Stegeman, J.P. Mayer, and Frank Martin. The colors, the inks are gorgeous. The textures to the colors they're putting on Ryan Stegeman's art alone is dope and beautiful and gorgeous. And Donny Cates, like, these guys are firing full cylinders and just hitting home runs and chatting with these guys on the side and Twitter. And it's like, all right, Ryan Stegman, all right, cool, JP. And it's like, it's dope. And it's worth checking out, guys. All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I didn't know how long this was going to go. It's been a long day and I probably got more work to do. Actually, I do. I'm promising I'm going to be working this weekend. Minus Sunday, where I get to enjoy some football. Football season is back. I love football. And that's one of the only things I do watch besides Cobra Kai. All right, guys. Subscribe. Oh, my gosh. I'm stuttering. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I'm at For the Villain, at Comic Syndicate 1 on Twitter. And again, subscribe, share the podcast with like-minded individuals. If there's anything you'd like or dislike about the podcast, I'm explicit for a reason. I'm not kid-friendly. I mean, I'm kid-friendly, but I mean, a few F-bombs here, a few F-bombs there, you know. I mean, you get what you take, I guess. All right, guys, share the podcast. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.